Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wrestle me more!
Wrestle me, please!
Oh, it's time for some more Wrestle Me. I just wonder where people are enjoying this. Get in touch, tweet us, let us know. I am Stephen, and I am listening to this on an allotment, surrounded by pornography I've hidden from my wife. I'm also Stephen. Look, Steve's listening. I am driving an Uber around Montreal.
I imagine most of our listeners are very, very ABC One.
I imagine a lot of disposable income. Like,
I actually took a couple of hours out of my architecture practice. I told my secretary to hold my calls.
I'm always very surprised in the how intelligent, well off, and they've all got good jobs.
I know.
In the main.
I know. Well, why, if you had a good job, would you listen to us?
Why wouldn't you have got yourself a little slice of the picture?
It's the fascination of sometimes when you go past like two strange men on the road,
yeah,
and you overhear slightly, you go, I wish you could hear a bit more of that. I've got to go get Miggy. He owes me a dog. A dog? So do you know what? I was talking of like frightening men who hang around the streets. I was in Kentish Town this morning coming through, and lovely day, really nice out. And I saw something, and it absolutely made me think this place is changing, isn't it? Mm. There was a great big graffiti mural to Prince Philip up on a window,
right? Okay.
And you're thinking Kentish Town, what is he going to be? He's going to be a vampire, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to be, you know, having a wank on, you know, a job centre or something, you know. It's going to be something.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, graffiti artists, there's a lot of them nowadays. I noticed this when the Queen Mum died.
You're right.
They just do stuff which is like, it's a tribute to them. And there's nothing funny about it. And this one was just Prince Philip lifting up his hat.
Right.
And it said underneath it, R.I.P. Prince Philip.
But they just, they seem to do it. And then they go, can I be in the frame for when you guys need a picture for a DVD or something?
Exactly.
For a DVD release.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's done like that, and they're like, oh, well, maybe people all around the world will go, can we buy the global rights to this picture? Because it's like both cool Britannia and the Royals. It's more exciting than just a picture.
Can I get it as an NFT?
I will pay up to $60,000 for an NFT of you finishing off the Prince Philip graffiti in Kentish Town. But I looked at it and I thought, you know, you bags of shit.
Like the graffiti, hip hop, street dancing used to be. Isn't that the three pillars of hip hop? Is there another one?
And now, do you know what they all seem like? They seem like branches of local government, don't they?
Tories.
They're the sort of thing where there really is, where local government will go, we're going to give you £3,000 for your street dance, you know. And then it's all like the politics is stripped out of it. And the
do a dance for Eat Out Help Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat Out Help Out.
Are you enjoying this, people in their 50s? Yes, we are.
Yeah. Everything has become strictly. Everything has become Strictly Come Dancing is just, it's just indicative
wholesome,
of a wider problem. Everything's so fucking wholesome, everything's so fucking tidy, and everything is so fucking marketable,
isn't
and
it?
Nice and smooth,
isn't it?
And hairless.
I saw that fucking thing. I'd seen one before.
All in the Prince Philip.
There is a thing about, I actually think nowadays, like, even 10 years
put
ago,
a fleshlight in it.
Even 10 years ago, if you'd have seen some graffiti of Prince Philip, and you'd have, like, I don't know, chucked a fucking pig's head at it.
Right, yeah.
People would have gone, he don't like him, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, you got your neck in a twist about the wall, isn't you? And I think if you did it now, people would go, you're a disgrace.
You should go to prison.
You're a traitor.
Have some respect for a man.
I mean, it's one of those things where I've said some things to like family and friends since his death that I legitimately would not repeat on this podcast. even though they're quite mild and they're quite funny.
Yeah.
You go, oh, that makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not going near it.
Go anywhere near
not going to find myself in space prison.
It'd be us, me and you, in a room recording a video to nobody like Jim Davidson.
Yeah.
We'd be like doing it, we'd be doing it to Jim Davidson's audience.
Two Lawrence Foxes. actually, if you're emailing in, just, you know, don't just say like where you're listening.
Yeah.
Say whether or not you actually like Prince Philip or not. I want to get a gauge on this. Am I out of touch? Help us. That said, I mean, Prince Philip, one thing I will say for him is he did turn up to a couple of wrestling events at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I don't think he bought a ticket. I think he was sort of brought there.
Yeah. I just, look, a man has died. He didn't always have a lot of respect for his fellow man.
No.
So when people talk about him in glowing terms, it's difficult. The obituaries have been written decades ago.
Yeah.
Imagine if you made an obituary for him, right? And you would have done it 10 years ago. Every year that goes by, you'd be like, I could have done the whole thing today and not have to go back and update it every few weeks.
Do you want to know my thinking about obituaries?
Right.
That I think they say, can we get them written long in advance?
Yeah.
Because what they're hoping is that either paperwork or the obituary writer will die. Mm. And there is then no, like, you don't go, well, you know, my obituary's been in the paper, can I have some more money?
Right.
He's written 40 years ago. He's long dead. It's all fine. I think it's a scam.
Nice enough.
I'm basing that on nothing. I literally thought of it as you were speaking. I make it sound like I was giving you information.
You had to really
just
think
a mad
about
thought.
It.
Just a mad thought. Oh, well, let's go from. We obviously every podcast that we do does start with a long talk about monarchy, and which I think our opinions are made clear, but which we don't actually state.
Nothing you can take out of context. Nothing. No. And I, the way I talk is that I start in the middle of a sentence then try and eat my way out, and that is very much a situation where you could not. I'm doing it now. I'm just using too many words. They don't go anywhere. They're non sequiturs, left, right and centre. Try and cut this into a cohesive fuck you to the monarchy. You can't. You just can't. It wouldn't be pithy. It wouldn't be short. Go fuck yourselves.
Too confusing. Yeah, but hey, read between the lines.
Too light, too funky, too confusing.
Let's go to something disappointing. This is the WWE champion AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, taking us up to 91 people. This match, Pete, oh God. We sat through the whole of the, I'd say sat through, it was a fucking thriller, through the 2018 Royal Rumble that Shinsuke Nakamura won.
Mm.
And from the moment he won it, people were clamouring for one match at WrestleMania. And it was a match that we didn't really think we were going to get. The match that people really, really wanted by a Nakamura who had been pushed to the moon as a genuine superstar was going to be against AJ Styles. The build-up to this match, they referenced their long rivalry that had taken place in Japan. They began showing the covers of things like Weekly Pro Wrestling, which is one of the two big weekly Japanese wrestling newspapers.
It was really good.
Newspapers.
I thought this was really cool.
Yeah, it is actually one of the last wrestling magazines that is available widely. You know, on newsstands, in the Japanese couple. Styles and Nakamura had a match at Wrestle Kingdom 10, which was in 2016, and that had been won by Nakamura. It was rated 4.75 stars in the Wrestling Observer.
Is it Meltzer?
Yeah.
I wish he'd given it given him a bit of room, given himself a bit of room.
Yeah.
I bet he's gutted that he has to cut everything down to 5.
Why? Points. Why he didn't make it out of 10?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd probably say, well, because, you know, you don't need to. What's the difference between a 7 and an 8?
Yeah, well, why
or a six and a half
and
a 7.
Why you
exactly. Doing the three quarters is annoying.
You're having your cake and eating it there.
Worth saying as well that wasn't even the best match on that card.
Right.
A 5-star match then followed it, which was Okada versus Tanahashi, which is the torch being passed from Tanahashi to Okada. Nakamura comes out. He has 20 violinists and an electric guitar player.
I mean, and it's Alice Cooper's guitarist.
Yeah, Nita Strauss.
Yeah, it was this point that I kind of remembered that she's going to have a character. It's just fucking Michael Jackson, isn't it? It's just mad Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he's got a sort of... do you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the zombie in Michael Jackson's
yes,
Thriller.
He's got that
red sort of leather costume. Nakamura has talked before about the influence of Michael Jackson.
Right.
And there is something great about him, that he's this sort of unknowable... I've talked about it before, but he is like one of those Japanese forest sprites from a weird folklore
with
tale.
Horrible, he hasn't got it, but he just looks like he might have like black juice coming out of his mouth.
Oh, completely.
He looks like he would be very he'd look great if just black oil came out of his mouth.
Like sort of like if the Japanese had remade Edward Scissorhands, but they'd sort of gone, but it's sort of cyberpunk Scissorhands.
Yeah, and Paula Abdul dressing everyone.
Yeah, he also looks, there's something about him where you sort of go, I sort of, if you imagine touching him, would he either be sort of like very static electricity or ice cold?
Yes.
Just really sort of unknowable.
He's like very enjoyable to look at.
Uncanny Valley, isn't he, a bit? But this did seem a moment where it seemed like WWE had finally got over that sense of saying, if they aren't from WWE, then they have no value. And this made it feel suddenly like they were becoming a very, very international company. So you are treating an overseas star who had limited English at the time as a legitimate main eventer, entirely based on the career that they'd had halfway across the world, that the vast majority of your fans would never even have seen or heard about.
Yeah.
And that felt like a really grown-up... The idea that they own wrestling to the point now where they're no longer intimidated by saying there is other wrestling in the planet and this is one of the best in the world. It was just so exciting. The commentators really sell this. This is a dream match. You are about to see a classic. And what you can hear throughout this is the match just creaking under the weight of all of that expectation.
Yeah.
Partly, I think, this is not the fault of Styles and Nakamura.
Mm.
This is the fault of WrestleMania.
Mm. Too long, already too long.
Much too long. And there is a massive, massive lack of atmosphere throughout this match.
Mm. Until someone gets punched in the dick.
Yeah, which doesn't happen until the match is over.
Yeah.
So you have a 25-minute match where they're just doing a lot of kicks. It's very stop-start. And the crowd are just tired. And had this match kicked the show off, it could have been an entirely different story. Mm. Had this match ended the show, which it never would have done, it could have been a different story. I think if you'd have booked this match on any other WrestleMania after this, it could have been an entirely different match.
Yeah.
This is just a massive, massive victim of circumstance. It is hard to put your finger exactly on what's wrong. And when you get matches that are hard to put your finger on what's wrong, it tends to say that it isn't necessarily what's happening in the ring, it's what's happening outside. And when you have no reaction by a crowd, you are beginning to sort of on an animal level just go, what I am watching is not engaging to humans. And you sort of go, I must not stick out from the herd by finding this entertaining. I must join my people and we must all begin to find this a little bit ennui.
Yeah.
There is a lot of the two of them almost sort of going, we are so exhausted. And that is also quite an exhausting thing to put an audience through.
Mm.
You get a lot of selling that they do lying on the floor to complete silence. It makes it bitty and dry because they don't seem to be able to get any momentum with the crowd. And so by not getting any momentum with the crowd never really allow them to get momentum. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's a very slow match and it never catches fire and there is a sudden Styles clash and it just ends. Mm. I mean, it is really, really horribly, horribly disappointing.
Yeah.
AJ Styles went on the Corey Graves podcast and he did blame the audience.
Corey Graves. Can he not blame Corey Graves? He was here.
He didn't blame the audience, but he did. If you, you know, listen to what he says, he's basically saying, thanks so much, everyone, for fucking that up. he said, I'm not going to do his voice. Expectations are way too high. He's got a strange sort of very southern boy voice. Expectations are way too high. I know Nakamura thought so too, because no matter what we could have done in that match, the expectations were way too high. Here's what a lot of people don't understand. Oh, Oh, lecture me, AJ Styles. think I just made this point before you, mate. The crowd, the fans, the WWE Universe, New Japan, all that stuff. Their fans are everything. They're everything. They set the tone on what is a great match. It's how they respond to it. In Japan, they're so respectful, but when they do respond, it's huge. Wow, this is such an amazing match. But had that same match been done in a WWE ring without the same response, it's not going to be declared as that great of a match. The fans dictate everything. They dictate a great match. The reality and the truth of the whole thing, expectations were so high because of what we did at Wrestle Kingdom. And I still think it was a great match. I mean,
I would like to have seen that match elsewhere on a different card.
I mean, but fair to say, I still think it's a great match. But you're going, yeah, but it failed. You know, you can't say I think it's a great match. You could say I think I performed as well as I could have done, and you could have said that any other given night we might have done better. Mm. But you can't go, it's a great match.
No,
literally, there is no one making any reaction. If you get no reaction to wrestling, that is the worst thing. That is worse than the booing.
Difference, yeah.
At least the booing, you're going, well, we're doing it wrong. This one, they're just going, nah.
Yeah. And then they wince when, again, somebody does a shot to the dick.
Yes. I've seen some people saying, how would you rebook this? And part of it as well.
15 shots to the dick.
Well, they said if it had started off with Nakamura just hitting him with a nut shot, you've got that wonderful thing of going, oh, okay, we're really on. Yeah. And Nakamura is the bad guy in this.
Yeah.
We don't have that in this match. It's, again, one of those matches where when they're respectful, the crowd like, oh, fuck this. And it's a real shame they get to the end of this. It's an embarrassing moment, really, where Nakamura sort of falls down on his knees and brings the belt out to hand it over. Mm. That's something you only do if you've had a real classic.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were like, we'll do this bit afterwards because it will be such a classic and then people will be really into it. You'll do a nut shot and everyone will be like, holy fuck. And actually, you get the nut shot and you go, that got a reaction. Nothing else you did got a reaction. The nut shot should have led this whole thing.
But I bet Vince and all of the old duffers backstage, you'd be like, I knew these fucking hipsters.
Completely.
This hipster booked thing was shit.
And the nut shot worked,
and that's a classic.
I know, and watching this, I remember thinking this was exactly the sort of thing a WWE should be doing. And I was like, I'm very much looking forward to this match. And when it happened, I was like, I don't know anything. I really called this wrong. Nakamura did then go on to a good sort of solid few months where his basic thing was just trying to kick people in the dick.
Right.
And he would do it all the time. Sometimes he'd immediately pin them. And it is great that I was. That was a funny thing that you just go, what is your gimmick? My gimmick is I'm going to try and knee you in the nuts. That is a really fun thing to do. It was great, but I mean, the post-match beatdown is the best thing about the whole thing. Mm. But I think part of that is Nakamura's nervous energy going, well, that's happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I'm going to get some of this out through my toe onto AJ Styles' face. And for the first time, they get crowd reaction. And the crowd reaction is the thing that obviously makes him go, I'm performing again!
Yeah, okay.
So I stamp on you! It's one of those matches that, as you say, you'd rather see it on a different night on a different card.
Yeah.
I think had it taken place any other night rather than this night in this place, on this card, it would have been great. But unfortunately, that's what happens at WrestleMania. You get one night a year, and you know what, if it doesn't work out, then it goes down in history as not working. Unfortunately, it's that great thing about wrestlers could always say, we had some such good matches at like SummerSlam, and you know, there's a SmackDown TV one. Fuck that. It doesn't count. It doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is WrestleMania. Anything else, you're just being a baby. Oh, here's a classic for you, Peter. Raw Tag Team Champions, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro versus Braun Strowman and a mystery partner. Mystery.
I mean, yeah, I like the float.
The float's good. They come out.
That was good.
Cesaro and Sheamus, they have their kilts, their grey camo coats and their sunglasses.
Yeah.
An image that has no cohesive reasoning.
No, this doesn't make any sense.
No thought put into it. No, this is just confusing.
It's Paul Gaultier's one of his drawings he leaves in the.
They've got sunglasses. Sunglasses is always the thing. Second a wrestler puts on sunglasses, it's saying, I don't know what I'm doing. But I've got some sunglasses. That seems like something I could add on.
Yeah. I can always buy aviators.
Absolutely. I've got aviators. That actually says quite a lot about. No, it doesn't. What it says is you haven't haven't worked out what it is. They come out on that big Mardi Gras float, and Strowman then scares off the Mardi Gras big head characters. They run to the ring. That is so funny, says one of the commentators, really driving home that it's... I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I wouldn't say it's very funny.
I don't think that is so funny.
This is happening. True. That is so funny. No, it wasn't. Strowman then gets the Mardi Gras float and he pushes it off the stage to the floor. And they all react like, holy fuck. It's on wheels, right? And it's on a mirrored floor surface. I get the feeling that if you touched that any other time, it's just going to skid off. There's no friction. And then out comes Strowman, gets the mic, and they built this up as a big surprise they couldn't deliver on. At the time, I think most people thought the mystery partner was going to be Goldberg.
Okay.
He's gone into the Hall of Fame. We know he's there. Like Strowman, he's a big, explosive powerhouse. Mm. It seemed like the most natural thing in the world that you would give at WrestleMania that Goldberg match where you just went, please welcome my host Goldberg. And they would tear through those two in 3 minutes. And what a big pop it would be. Instead, they did this. So Strowman gets the mic and he says, my surprise partner, it's not one person in the back in the locker room. It's one of you. Or one of you. Who wants to be my WrestleMania tag team partner? So many men, Pete, in their 20s, 30s and 40s, chucking their hands up. The idea that Braun Strowman would have gone, the guy looks about 40, the guy there, him, the cocky sort of, the Bantz
the
guy,
man. Yeah,
let's get him in. The one who looks like he might have taken some coke this evening.
I want to see that man's heart explode.
Yeah, I want to see whether or not you can listen to the simple advice that I just want you to stand there. Let's see how long you can do that before you start taking matters into your own hands, you know, just for the moment.
Has anyone got sharp keys in their pockets?
Now, I mean, he starts pointing. He suddenly points. He goes, "You!" And he goes, and just as he starts walking towards where he's going to climb over, there's a bloke who looks like Buster Merrifield, who played Uncle Albert in Only Fools and Horses, great big white beard. And he properly goes, I wish it had been him. But again, it is that funny thing about this has, unusually, in WWE, this has never really been done before.
Right.
Certainly not on a big pay-per-view where they go... I mean, they spend a lot of time telling people not to get in the ring.
Yeah.
And bits like this where they go, I'm going to pick one of you to be my partner. And there is a moment where it's so funny that everyone is just going, finally!
I've been expecting this for such a long time.
The funniest thing is when they cut to it, people aren't going, woo! People are going, oh, shit, holy shit, holy shit, like their brains are scrambling, like their, you know, hearts are going, and they're just like, shit, it's shitting, oh, it's gonna be me. It's so pathetic and great. I loved it. I absolutely love it. But out he goes and he picks a child. He picks 10-year-old Nicholas.
Nicholas.
The crowd think this is legit, I think. You know, they're very much, this is a kid that they've taken out for a once in a lifetime sort of experience.
Yeah.
As soon as he picks him, they're also slightly disappointed.
Because it's not their 35-year-old
Yeah, I thought that was going to be me. But they do chant, "We want Nicholas."
Right.
You know, like a sort of well done. You can't really sort of go, boo!
Is he a heel? Is he a face? I need to know.
This is the wrong fucking call, Strowman.
You know, boo, bad booking.
What damage is this child going to inflict upon Sheamus, the great white wonder? They are excited when he tags in during the match, though.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I would have loved it if Sheamus had just immediately hit him with a big boot and Nicholas was pinned and then Vince McMahon had just come out with and just said, Braun Strowman, you are fired. What the fuck were you thinking? You put a 10-year-old in the ring against Sheamus. Sheamus, have you seen him? Everyone leave now because this company is going to be sued. We're shutting it down right now. Thank you, Nicholas.
Because Goldberg got locked in a toilet. You can't just go into a game yourself.
Oh, well, Nicholas, he comes in, the crowd go, woo! And I think they were hoping that, because by now you're like, well, okay, this is, you know, the kid's wearing a WrestleMania shirt.
And he's reacted.
He does a good job for his role.
Better or worse than Snooki.
Yes. Well, I don't think that's the yardstick. I still think Snooki is quite good.
No, yeah, true.
Better or worse than most of the people on this card.
Yeah.
Better. He tags out immediately and Strowman, you know, then just wails and everyone. The idea behind this, of course, is they are saying that Strowman is so confident he can do this on his own, he could have the weakest thing imaginable, a 10-year-old boy as his tag team partner. Yeah. I mean, maybe a 9 or 8 year old, that would have been even weaker.
Just have no one,
you know. And I'm glad, you know, I mean, would it have been nicer if it was a little girl? Probably yes, because it gets a girl into, you know, a big match rather than it just be a little lad.
Does Nicholas get in the Hall of Fame anytime soon? That's gotta be happening, hasn't it?
Well, he became the youngest person to have a match in WWE history.
Oh, that's nice.
And he is the youngest, of course, as a result, to win a title. They do win the Raw tag team titles.
He's now a right-wing commentator on Twitch.
Well, he was actually the son of the referee, John Cohn. Was part of the business. And they surrendered the tag team titles a week later on Raw TV. And they cited Nicholas had scheduling conflicts because he was going into the fourth grade. It's a sweet thing. He's now 13 years old and his Twitter bio says, former Raw tag team champion, undefeated at WrestleMania, likes Pokemon and Fortnite.
Nice.
You do get the impression.
Several legions on the brain. Just stepping in that ring.
He's 13, Pete. he'll listen to this because he'll go, that was my WrestleMania. And then he'll be walking downstairs looking ashen-faced, just saying, there was a man from England who said I had a brain leech. He doesn't have a brain leech.
You don't have a brain leech, Nicholas.
The former youngest champion in WWE was Hornswoggle. He won the WWE Cruiserweight title. Paige won the Divas title at 21, and Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, they both won the World Championship in their early 20s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Brock Lesnar is just a big Nicholas. That's how I see him. I look at him and I go, big Nicholas. It is funny. He gets mentioned every now and then, Nicholas. But he hasn't made comebacks. I think it's one of those things where they would be loath to bring him back for anything, because I think you just have to go, that was a little thing we done.
Yeah. But I would like to see him back.
I would like to see him versus New Jack.
Yes, I would.
Oh, well, look, we're finally here after 7.5 hours. We are at the main event of WrestleMania 34. This is the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, taking us to 97 wrestlers.
Holy moly, that's too many. And
too
they didn't
many.
Get to 100. 100, did they?
I didn't include Paul Heyman.
Right.
And that should really.
Nah, you should really.
Yeah, 98. Should, yeah. There's bound to be a couple of managers are left off. And yeah. Look, I didn't include, like, you know, the commentators.
So okay, well, that's fair.
I think it's tipped us into triple figures.
Yeah.
Too many people on the show. Too many people on the show. This is regarded as being one of the single worst WrestleMania main events of all time. Mm. And there are many reasons for that. One, it's not a very good main event. Two, as a main event, it's not good. And three, it just... I mean, everything they could have really done wrong in this, they managed to do wrong.
Yeah.
They started with an attempt to finally get people, if they couldn't get them behind Roman Reigns, they wanted to turn them against Brock Lesnar. So Roman Reigns began doing a thing of painting Brock Lesnar, who was not on television very often, as being a part-timer. And he would say, you know, he doesn't care about WWE, he doesn't care about the fans. And he moaned that the WWE, and it was moaning, and he had this big thing about WWE treat him so well, and yet he doesn't actually care. You know, I would argue, if you care about a job that you do when you're an employee, you need to rethink, right? You need to see the bigger picture. What it made Lesnar seem was like someone who did not care, and it made Reigns seem like a big crybaby. If it had any effect at all, it didn't make the fans go, we don't like Lesnar, we like Roman Reigns. It made the fans go, we don't really now like Brock Lesnar, but we also don't like Roman Reigns. It was an absolute fucking disaster. Roman Reigns here is headlining his fourth straight WrestleMania. It tied the record set by Hulk Hogan between 89. So he did WrestleMania 5 with Randy Savage, WrestleMania 6 with Ultimate Warrior, 7 versus Sergeant Slaughter, and 8 versus Sid Justice. So between 89 and 92, he had his four main events. Now, some people will say, oh, no, Hogan had 5 because he was in WrestleMania 9.
Right.
And he took on Yokozuna. Yeah, but that's an impromptu match, isn't it? That wasn't the main event of WrestleMania. The main event had to be Bret Hart versus Yokozuna.
Yeah.
I should stress, I don't care. I don't know why I was setting it up like that mattered to me. I don't care. And I believe anyway that Roman Reigns has now beaten that record as well by main eventing. Although he didn't do last year. Yeah, you know, I think he smashed it. So very much a stat that I found on a page like dated 2018. There is a grudging cheer for Lesnar when he comes out, but what you're suddenly aware of is the crowd don't want to see either man win this match, and they don't really want to see either man wrestle each other.
Yeah,
they know as well that Roman Reigns is finally going to win his WrestleMania main event.
Yeah,
and then they will get to do the coronation of Roman Reigns in this stop-start disastrous campaign that has blighted the last few WrestleManias. It's a lousy, lousy main event. It's just rejected entirely by the live crowd. If you think about your stars and Nakamura, when the crowd just sort of are apathetic and that destroys it. In this, they are both apathetic and really sort of hostile.
Yeah.
And well,
they seem to know what was going to happen. Like, Reigns was kicking out all the time, and it's like they didn't get what they expected, and they were still underwhelmed.
Yeah, there's a bit where they beat the count out. Mm. They were about to have a double count out, and they both roll in, and the crowd boo. The idea that they would have gone, we will be happier with a double count out. This match just ends. It gets a boring chant in the main event of WrestleMania. They're chanting boring. They keep on kicking out of the series of each other's finishing moves, which has become in recent years a really, really overused part of the main events, where everyone is continually hitting their finishing moves and everyone's continually kicking out. And it is just a sort of thing of, you just do it long enough and then people might get into it. You're going to be seeing it, you know, soon. We're going to be having 40-minute matches and it's just the finishing move over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself would be art. Let me make that clear. I'm pitching that. Don't steal it. That's mine. For my matches at WrestleMania. But, I mean...
Against Nicholas.
There's a bit where the fans start chanting, this is awful. This is awful. And brilliantly, when they cut to a recap, they just show a little bit in the highlights. you still hear them chanting. No one took it out to go, this is awful, in the highlights. This goes on too long.
Yeah.
Nobody is interested. But then suddenly we get blood. And whether or not that's something, you know, I think the crowd see that and they go, oh, fuck. Oh, fucking hell. And they do that because rather than going, oh, blood's back.
Yeah.
Fucking no. See, I'm an adult and I was right to like this. They see it and they go, oh, no. They've given special dispensation to Roman Reigns to get bloodied up because then we'll go, God, didn't he fight his way through and we respect him now.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead...
That blood's not for you, Roman Reigns. You are a clean-cut boy.
Exactly.
And I don't need blood. Blood is for the nasty boys.
His blood is so red. So bright red. So sort of like, you know, all American blood. It's just astonishing. Out it splashes. And people do sort of go, don't know if I... Does this make it better? I sort of, you know, there's a moment where the crowd aren't hostile, but they're just like, are we going to be indifferent or not? He gets a proper, like, crimson mask, you know.
Yeah.
So it's great. And then he goes for a spear and Brock Lesnar hits him with the F5. And there is a cheer when Brock Lesnar pins him. Because I think
over.
They thought...
You can go home.
A, it's over. But they're also like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And that is... better than getting what I expected and not enjoying this. It just, I mean, Lesnar is just fucks off back to his sinister ranch, you know, and he just goes, that's it, I've done that.
Yeah.
And Reigns is left in the ring on his back, covered in blood, being attended to. They show the replays. This is awful. And it cuts back to... And this is... If I was Roman Reigns... I mean, Roman Reigns has nothing to be embarrassed about at all.
No.
But if I was Roman Reigns and I had that element to feel just mortified by things that had happened in my life, I would continually come back to this moment.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Roman Reigns walking around the ring. Mm. And there is... no noise from the crowd. There is just silence. And yeah. He's walking around, going, oh. And you hear one person go, and nobody picks it up. And then his music starts. Bum, bum, dum, da dum. And he just looks so fed up. What they're hoping is that people will go, oh, he gave it his all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's defeated. But look, all new respect. Or, you know, his music is starting, and that is the signal for everyone to go, well fucking done. We understand the bigger picture. You are a player on the stage of WrestleMania, and you have done your best, and well done. And it doesn't fucking happen.
No.
And he trudges up that ramp.
How many
to the back.
Did that man had in wrestling where he's like at the top of his game and yet nobody likes
it? A lot of the ends
what
of these
doing
are
it?
Like the feed hasn't been shut down and that we're seeing something we shouldn't see.
Yeah.
And honestly, when if he has those things at 3 a.m. where he goes, oh, what am I doing with my life?
Mm.
That last bit of WrestleMania 34, he must have watched it. And he must watch it and just go, I don't recognise who this person is. That is the bit that you'd come back to and just go, that is... I mean, if you ever did an interview with him, you know, I get the feeling he's quite sort of measured and he's, you know, he's very serious.
Yeah.
And you'd say to him, you know, what first appealed to you about wrestling? And he'd sort of go, a number of things and everything. And you'd say, you know, so, I mean, is it a hard life? And he'd go, it is a not for everybody. And you would say, what's the worst? And you'd go, it was the end of WrestleMania 34.
That was rubbish.
Oh my God. They left the feed on.
For ages.
And I was out there like a spare prick at a wedding. And I trudged back and people didn't even boo. They were just silent. They left. It is appalling. What a terrible second half of a WrestleMania.
Yeah. They built... they built the kind of gantry in the first half, and then New Jack just threw everyone off it into some tables.
It's really, really bad. What's interesting about this, actually, having watched like the most recent one, now we've gone to two nights. Mm. You do get shorter, but they are just the same length WrestleMania over two nights rather than one. And so what you can see here is what we've done in the last two episodes is essentially look at night two of WrestleMania 34.
Yes.
And that as a show would go down as one of the worst shows of all time.
Mm.
And considering it had like AJ Styles versus Nakamura, it had
The return of Daniel Bryan on it. You know, you had the tag team opener.
Nicholas.
If you like. And Nicholas. It would be difficult not to say that was one of the worst ever major shows put on. The first half of WrestleMania 34 does save it. And certainly that Ronda Rousey match is an absolute corker.
It feels like a years away, that one.
It really does. That would have been the match that ended night one. And this would have been night two. And there's a night two, this would have been a disaster. Oddly, the night twos, since they've been doing WrestleMania, have all been worse than night one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Partly, some of that is, I think, because the same people go to both nights, the audience. And the second night, you're just like, oh, back again.
Yeah, back again, tired, hungover.
Yeah, it doesn't feel quite as good.
Yeah.
And the second one is always poor. That's so nice to see that that's what happened here.
Isn't it a Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday and a Sunday.
Sunday's... Friday, do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, everything just seems to... It seems unnatural to be still out at, like, midnight on
Sunday. Well, WrestleMania has always been on a Sunday because, like, when you were at school, you had to put on your video on Sunday night at 1 a.m. on Sky Sports Plus or Sky Movies Plus, what it used to be in the old days, and you would have to hope that it recorded at 1 in the morning, and then you would get back from school at 4:30 and you'd have seen that there was a technical issue and they'd have gone, oh, it's now going to be on Sky Sports 3, and then you'd have a whole 3 hour or 6 hour long play tape of Lee Trevino golf memorial,
the best of Nick Faldo.
Yes.
I don't want to watch that. Oh, I like Faldo.
He's coming up to the mum, it's happened again.
I love the crapshoot of that. I love, like, the kind of, oh, it could happen, it could, like, I might come back. And that sort of thing happens all the time when you order something online. Has it arrived? Has it not arrived? Oh, I don't want to know. Don't email me about it. Don't text me that it's been delivered. Don't tell me that you left it at the back of my house in the porch.
I've recently had an arrival of vape produce.
Right.
I found myself thinking to myself, oh, I wonder when that's going to arrive.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, oh, actually, it's one of those things where I hope it hasn't. I checked, I'd ordered it like about 12:15 last night. But I'm so in that thing of just like, hassle me. Hassle me. Tell me where it is.
I bought a fake Rolex online.
Nice.
Cause I kind of Rolex is it? It's just like very simple. It's the cheapest Rolex.
Uh-huh.
But I like the design. But I'm not, fuck it, I'll smash it, I'll lose it if I spend $8,000 on it. But if Rolex are listening, why?
It'd be weird if this show ended up being sponsored by Rolex. Of all the things. We have Beer 52, no one, then Rolex.
Wanna get involved. And they never sent me it. And then a year later, I was like, I think I ordered a fake Rolex online.
What a surprise that those people turned out not to be reputable businessmen.
I know. But then I emailed them going, sorry, guys, you didn't. I ordered Rolex years ago and you didn't. He went, oh, yeah, no, nobody signed for it, so we took it back. And they went, and they sent me it the next day. I was like, how wonderful.
Nice.
Oh, thank you, the Zhangzhou company.
Does it look
Shenzhen.
Good?
Yeah, it looks spotless. Absolutely spotless. One too many chains in it, but I'll sort that out. Look, it's fine.
Yeah.
So, but if anybody sees me, yes, that is a Rolex.
Yeah. I don't wear my wedding ring because it's a platinum ring.
Yeah.
And it's just too valuable.
Yeah.
And I will lose it.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
Also,
I'll take it off to impress a girl.
Well, exactly. I mean, it will get left somewhere.
Yeah, and then your wife will think you've been...
How did the meet and greet with Sasha Banks go, Mark? Yeah, it was fine. Where's your wedding ring? Oh, no! I've left it in the toilets of the XL where I was putting on all that CK1 to try and make her fall in love with me. Oh, knockers. Now I'm in trouble. Now I'm for it. I know what I'll do. I'll use this hula hoop. It's like the opening of my sitcom. Oh, God, there's a rat come to eat my wedding ring.
Well, that has been WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, I'm...
It's sort of lived long in the memory because we did it in two parts.
I'm looking forward never watching it again.
Maybe the Nicholas match. Maybe the Strowman Nicholas.
It will be good if they bring him back.
I think they should bring him back and put him in the Hall of Fame.
They should put him, but do you know who would have been better in that role?
Fucking
Jarius J.J. Robertson. The kid who was in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Who got the Warrior Award.
It would have been,
who had all that charisma.
What was he ill? I presume he was ill. So I guess he could dance.
I mean,
if he can dance, he can wrestle. That's my rule.
Absolutely.
That's my rules.
I mean, but Nicholas didn't fucking wrestle.
No, that's true.
And, like, the crowd are going to go, oh, They're gonna have to go. Oh no, I'm really pleased about that. Yeah, yeah.
It was the referee's son. WWE obviously has a long pedigree in nepotism.
Yes,
they have to keep that part of it up.
As soon as it turned out he was an employee's son,
yeah,
I was a bit like, oh, that's not as good. Also, if they picked a real 10-year-old,
yeah,
what's the damage that kid could have done?
What do you mean? As in, like,
Braun Strowman would have said, "Just want you to stand here," mm-hmm. and the referee comes over and he goes, "When he tanks in, I want you to come in." And then just go, ooh, run out, right? Yeah. You could have done it with a real kid.
Yeah.
You could have made it. Instead, it was just a lie.
Yeah. It's not like the referee's son would have, you know, been sillier than any other 10-year-old.
No.
Surely.
No, they could have used a real one. He's not a real boy.
Little Pinocchio child.
Not a real boy. The other thing is, as a referee's son, he can go to all the wrestling he wants. So why on earth he gets to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience when it's just mundane, boring dad's work? It would be like me going to a consulting engineer's for the day. I'm furious about it. Or now a retirement home.
Correct.
Respect is due. Look, if you get a chance, don't bother listening to WrestleMania 34. It was rubbish. But do come over to our Patreon. It's really good. I mean, it is just a great body of work. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. It's the best thing out there. I have no irony about it.
What have you printed on that printed your notes on the back of?
I've run out of white paper. So this is a letter from Stephen Eagle Toyota.
Yeah, what's that about?
Well, my wife drives a Toyota Auris.
Right.
It's a hybrid.
Okay, cool.
And she bought it, I would say, 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they continually send her things saying, do you want to come to our confidential new car event?
Yeah, okay. And you've taken their letter, put it in your...
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's really responsible
of you. Have you
not
never
only are you driving
about...
a hybrid, you are also reusing paper that has been sent by
In fairness, I don't use printer ink. I boil down elephants.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just a lot of, like, bitumen.
Oh,
it's the blackest oil.
I have a lot of coal fires going continuously to smelt down that ivory.
Steam-powered printers. Yeah,
so I can print out my notes that read things like Nicholas rejected.
Oh, wrestle me, Mark.
Oh, Pete, wrestle me.
That's hard.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.